let's talk about VSL for brands. Let me show you what not to do right now. The problem with what not to do is that on the surface, it's easy to get tricked into the idea that this is what to do. Because, you know, when I first started, I found that nightmare stories, and if you watch some of my older videos on YouTube, I was on that nightmare story train, right? Because I was finding out that, like, you know, the more, like car crashes, people can't look away from car crashes, right? You're advertising on cold traffic. We're trying to get a complete stranger to pay the fuck attention. And back then, I thought the only way to do that was car crashes, right? People look at, you can't help but look at car crash. Finding things you can't, people can't help but look at. So let me show you an example of a nightmare VSL that's crushing it. ClickBank and Digistore24, the big VSL platforms, and MaxWeb, a lot of the biggest VSLs are nightmare story leads and very knife in the heart kind of dagger twisting stuff going on here to really get the most amount of people to buy. I got a couple stories here, by the way. So let's look at this, right? My son screams to save my life as I black out from what I feel is like a heart attack. Wakes up in the hospital. He's depressed. He's overweight. He fucking almost has a heart attack after somebody tries to rob him. And then he basically wakes up in the hospital and feels like a beached fucking whale, right? Now, that is like, seriously. Now, you're not going at the person and saying these things. Do you feel like a beached whale? Do you feel like you're going to have a heart attack one day? By the way, side note, people aren't afraid of death. People aren't afraid of heart attacks. Those type of things don't work in advertising because people have never experienced them before. If someone has had a heart attack, they really care. You can only really bring up problems that people have actually experienced. So this campaign is huge, right? But it's not brand friendly. And I was really on board with the nightmare kind of story, highlighting insecurities thing for a while, because until I found out what it actually does to people, right? Until I found out what it does to people. And I was introduced to this idea by the woman who owns Fuck Cancer, right? The t-shirts that says Fuck Cancer. And she was telling me a story about, she's like, you know those people that they're trying to raise money for the starving kids in Africa? They come to you and they show you all these pictures of starving kids and you feel really guilty and sad inside. And you're like, fine, here's, take my money, right? They think that that worked. The guilt trip sale worked, right? But in reality is, next time you see that fucking guy again, you're never going to want to talk to him ever again in your whole life, right? That's what these things are kind of doing. You make them, when you make fun with someone feel so much pain trying to get them to buy, they will associate that emotion to your brand, to your logo. So next time they see your logo, they're going to run away. The problem with this kind of advertising, which I now call douchey advertising, right? Because now there's a way to do it that's not douchey and brand friendly and really amazing, which I want to inspire you to get on with, is this kind of stuff just has the lowest LTV, right? Because it's about getting someone to buy, and then because you're doing all this hard work, you want them to buy over and over and over again. This kind of knife stabbing really causes people to want to leave and never see you ever again in their entire life. People who advertise with fear, right? Fear-based ads. I mean, another thing that, you know, most of these guys don't see, right? People who are saying stuff like, you know, your husband's going to leave you for a younger woman, right? If you don't get your shit together and start looking pretty, right? Those kind of ads, even though they get people to buy, you fucking destroy the person internally. And they just become so wrecked. They become so emotionally destroyed and wrecked, like, You're like killing someone internally, right? They buy the product and then they have so much insecurity and fear. My girlfriend's brother passed away, right? And before this, listen to this for us, fucking wild. And before this, before he passed away, he was freaking out about how the world was going to end, about he needed to stock food, he needed to save on electricity, they were going to cut the electricity, he needed generators, he needed food. He had all these like doomsday kind of ideas going on in his head, and she pulled up the text. They were fucking crazy. China's coming, they're cutting the grid, all this crazy ass shit. And then one day I met a friend who was writing a VSL for these doomsday kind of fear-based things, right? And he was writing these terrifying, fear-mongering kind of things. And my girlfriend saw the ad and she fucking had a panic attack because her brother. She saw the impact on her brother. Somebody inspired her brother to get on this doomsday train in order to get him generators. The guy had a bunch of generators. He had a bunch of food stored up for like fucking years. And somebody inspired him by fear-mongering him, right? Not saying, I don't know what's real or what's true. All I know is this guy's texts were real, and he was real terrified, and he was couldn't sleep, and he was freaking out about his family, trying to inspire them to go out and like change all these things. And after I saw that story in real life, I started to see, and I really started to understand what this negative knife stabbing kind of stuff does to people after they're done watching your reading your ad, right? You really put them into a state of crippling pain if you do this kind of wrong. So, of course, moral of the story is let's not be douchey advertisers here. Let me show you a way to be positive kind of advertisers. That way people love your brand and they become obsessed with you. And when people become obsessed with you, they talk about you. And that's where word of mouth really kicks in, which is another one of the things we want you to have when you're doing a brand. So the secret, right, and by the way, a lot of this is just the secret is if you have an authority figure, you don't need to do as much twisting, right? They'll do a lot of that. They'll do the inspiring for you. How brands do it is the opposite. Let me ask you a question, right? At the very beginning, right, there's two ways you can really hook people's attention. One is with a nightmare story. It's a car crash, something bad they can't really look away from. And two is something they're fascinated by, right? For a while, I thought it was hope. I thought it was giving hope to people and inspiring people to like, hey, there's a way to get out of your pain. Nah, it's fascination. Being completely fascinated with what's going on here. And I think Silva Ultramind, I'm super proud of because it's not a supplement and there's no nightmare story, right? It's the introduction is the story of Helen Hansel. It's this woman who could win any competition she took part of. She would just enter. She went like 7 trips to Paris, boats and houses and all these different things. And she would just enter a trip and she would win, right? All because she studied the unique mechanism, right? When you look at the story, she studied from Jose Silva. Jose Silva is kind of the mechanism guy. He's like the all because he studied from the authority figure, right? So this is a perfect example of a fascinating hook. And what I want you to think about and what we're going to go over in the lead Bible when I show you that is fascinating introductions, right? Like a kid who's staring at a fucking ladybug in the ground and they can't look away. Fascinating. We're going to find you fascinating topics on this particular niche. And that is the kind of brand friendly stuff that you want to do when you're a brand. You know, I mean, it's associating as much positivity as you possibly can to them, right? In this particular VSL, we don't even go in the problem, really. This is a little bit different one. It doesn't even really go into much of the problem in general. It's like maybe 20% problem. We really hit the root cause of the problem at one point where we're like, you know, the root cause of the problem is basically you've been stuck. Is society just like limited you and placed all these limits to you? And when you go into these different brave wave frequencies, you can access hidden abilities you didn't even know you had, right? To create the life of your dreams, right? That's kind of it with this one. But yeah, that's the core of it, man. Fascinations, associating a lot more positive emotions with your brand. I mean, these last ones, I mean, these don't get sold. You know, these don't get sold at all, right? Nobody's buying these companies ever, right? They're just run and gun, big and drop kind of stuff where you don't care if anyone buys ever again. And that's, if you're going through all the work, make something amazing. I want to inspire you to go all the way. The brands, like I'll tell you a huge mistake I made was getting out of my brand early. I mean, we did go 0 to 40 million in 12 months, but my little ADD brain just likes bouncing around sometimes and like doing other sort of things. And I never like even, it probably comes from a kid. I always moved every 2 or 3 years ever since I was born, right? So I liked kind of moving around and doing different things. But the value of the brand went up exponentially after year 3 or like after it went for a while. So I missed out. I want to let you know. I built a dope thing. I sold it early, and I could have made a way bigger fortune if I stuck around and, you know, kept my head down on the big thing that was growing, you know, and optimized that in general. So that's the lesson there. That's the lesson with VSLs for brands. Don't be a douchey advertiser. You know, be brand friendly, positive. Hook people in with fascinating topics, right? Dream scenarios, right? Dream comparison scenarios. I remember one of my biggest leads was like, we were going through a lot of nightmare stories, and then we finally had enough and we pivoted to something more amazing and fascinating like, and we found this tribe out in like the Hadza tribe out in the forest who looked really, really young, even though they were at a high age. And they looked young because they had a secret. And there was also this dermatologist in Miami who also had a secret. And that ended up being a phenomenal lead, right? One of our big dark spot campaign ones was we found out that on the internet, a potato was something that was people were using for dark spots. So we used a lead about like potatoes are amazing for dark spots, right? And we got that from, I'll show you where we got that from. We got that from this one right here. Brandy Jackson, if you watch this VSL, he starts out, I laughed when I heard lemons are a weight loss secret. Then I looked at the studies and like we just started out our thing. But people laugh. You know, when I talk about dark spots, people laugh. But when you look at the studies, they're amazing. They're great at, you know, hating dark spots. Phenomenal hook. Phenomenal lead there. News intros are also great ones, but we'll talk about leads a little bit later. But that's the core of it, right? Fascination or nightmare story. Fascination is what's going to associate love and positivity to your brand and like solid, interesting kind of ideas, right? This I remember in Nucific, one of the biggest lines is breakfast means breakfast. Anyway, we'll go over intros later, but that's the core difference between brands and companies people never want to buy from again. I would say you're either a brand people want to buy from again, or you're kind of a douchebag nobody wants to buy from again. Those are your two options. Okay, see you guys.